this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Eloise Viola, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I am very well. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you for asking, Eloise. You've got a new single out called Glass House and an album by the same name. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to, looking at you on Zoom, you look very young compared to me. Compared to me. Have you got one of those filters on?
No filters. I've got a nice white wall outside, which is really nice because the light like bounces off it and it looks like I've got a ring light or something.
Perfect. So
it's quite good. But I'm not really young. I'm quite young.
You're quite young. Okay, we'll go with quite. compared to me, you're really. So I want to find out how you got started in music, really, before we talk about your single. How did you start? Did you sort of get born and immediately start playing the piano or something? What happened?
No, I think I've got kind of a weird story because I guess I don't really see myself as that musical, but I am musical now, and I didn't see myself as that creative, but I think I am really creative. But it's kind of one of those things where I think we have this kind of belief in society that if you're, arts, it's like people pigeonhole you, right? So you're artsy and creative, or you're business-like, or you're like this. So I kind of saw myself as more in the business round, I guess. But I am creative and artsy, but I didn't start singing until I was a teenager, really. The Adele 21 album came out, and I loved it so much that I taught myself to play the piano. And then the kind of songwriting came from there, more from like mistakes and not doing things right. And that actually sounds quite nice. And putting those together. I went to uni, got a grad job, absolutely hated it, and thought I'll give myself a year to pursue music, see where we go. And here I am 7 years later, releasing my first album.
It's incredible. And how long did it take you to learn the piano? Because I was forced to go and have piano lessons by my dear departed mother. All my brothers and sisters were as well. I think she thought we were all going to end up being concert pianists. And there's no way. My sister did a lot better than me. It was very useful, actually, in later life. But I didn't enjoy it at the time. How long did it take you to learn?
Well, it's kind of weird because I did lessons when I was like about five. But I just didn't really have the patience for it. Like, I wanted to play it, but what I would do is I'd have lessons to do sheet music, and then I would just learn, like, do it by ear. So she'd think I was reading the sheet music, but I had learned it. And so I didn't pick it up again until this Adele album came out when I was about 16. But it's kind of weird. I look back at it now and I'm like, I can't really remember how I did it, but it took me like a year. And then basically, so I still can't read sheet music. I would be able to, but I'd be like,
slowly.
And now basically what I do is I have guitar tabs and I just sort of know the chords, make it up as I go along, which I think has actually been amazing and really freeing because it's meant that I could play pretty much anything and I don't have to play it perfectly. It just kind of, I get the rhythm. And I think that's kind of made me slightly better musician because I've had to really rely on my ear. And so I think it's meant long term I'm better at it. Although saying that, I have not had any time to play the piano in the last couple of months, so I'm probably absolutely awful and back to square one. We'll see.
Practice.
Yeah, exactly.
If you need to. How would you describe your music?
How would I describe my music? Genre-wise or using lots of descriptive words?
Oh, lots of descriptive words. That would be lovely.
Okay, well, I really want to write music that is empowering and makes you feel like you've got a spring in your step. But I also think it's really important to tell the stories of vulnerability, and I don't want it just to be like happy clappy music. I want it to really tell a story and for people to relate to it and hopefully take something away and learn from it. So I want to do, so my music is pop really, but I really want to have the emotional side of it as well as the dancey side. So genre-wise, it's sort of pop dance. But recently I've got a lot of, like, in that album is very 80s synth heavy. It's kind of across genre, it slightly moves around. So that's the biggest thing, is I want it to make people feel empowered after listening to it.
So to help people.
Yeah, I think so. I think the way that I the reason I started writing songs about this is because I'd had some real issues with like disordered eating and obsessive calorie counting and just being in this very sort of restrictive mindset and just constantly thinking about body image and food. And I was really lucky to have some counseling, and I learned so much. Sort of she the counselor kind of set me on this journey, and then I learned so much, and I just thought, why doesn't everybody know this? And so I decided to kind of that was when I would write this about this in the song, so I could talk about it. And this was, you know, kind of before socials were massive. So I wanted to say it in my songs, but now it's kind of my social media as well as my songs.
That's really nice, and you know that makes you feel good, isn't it, when you help people? And
Yeah,
you say
absolutely.
people are worried about their body image and everything else. I think every woman and a lot of men that applies to, you know, so many people, doesn't it?
100%. And you know, it kind of started off as like I saw it, my mission is kind of body confidence and body positivity. But as I've got older, and as I've kind of talked about the message more and thought about the message, I've realized that it is about body image, but it's actually so much more than that. And kind of my main sort of, I guess if I was a company, the tagline would be the way you speak to yourself is important, because I feel like everything kind of comes from that. So I'm trying not to just focus on the body stuff, but probably is more of a strategy, because I'm like, let's move away from talking about body image. Let's move away from body confidence. Like, let's talk about the other things that are much more important. So even though the body image part is kind of where it started, I actually, part of the journey for me has been moving away from that preoccupation. And so I think that is now a smaller part, and it's really self-talk that is, I think, is so crucial.
Okay, tell me about the single, which I've listened to. We're going to play a bit in a minute. Glass House, tell me how that came about.
So, I wrote it a couple of years ago. I was on a writing trip in LA when a couple of other tracks on the album were written, which is really cool. And I always find when I'm on these writing trips that you're obviously so far away from home. I think it's like 8 hours time difference. So I've not got any mates, and then I'm pushed into rooms with people that I've never met before. And I woke up and I saw that this article had gone viral, and it said, "Heroin chic is back." I don't know whether you saw it. And it just made me really angry and really upset. And I was really angry with like the journalist that had written it. And then I was angry with the celebrities that were pushing it. And then after a bit of reflection, I kind of realized this isn't one person's responsibility. We all as individuals need to stop buying into it. We need to stop clicking. We need to stop liking. We need to stop commenting. We need to stop having this focus on our bodies, but more about this kind of bodies as trends. And so I went into a writing session and said, "This is what I'd like to write about." And I was sort of just met these guys, and I was like a big whirlwind of, "I'm annoyed about this, and I think this." And I thought, you know, they're men; they won't understand. But I was completely wrong. They were amazing. They had loads of amazing insights and amazing stories. And we wrote this song called Glass House.
Fantastic. Let's have a little listen to it now. I love it, by the way. But I think anybody listening to this will love it as well. This is Eloise and Glass House.
You can try.
Down.
Do you know, I don't want to fade that out. I love it so much. It's brilliant.
Thank you. That's great news.
Well, I'm sure everybody would agree with that. You know, that's amazing. I've just become a fan of yours.
Yes, brilliant.
You've got quite a few on Instagram, 13,000 plus.
So, getting there.
Yeah, getting there, yeah. It's more than me. So a lot more. No, it's really good. I love that. And the album has got similar stuff on it, has it?
Yeah, for sure. I think it takes you on a bit of a journey, really. I think it's obviously my first album, so having a track listing and putting the songs in order was kind of a new thing that I had to do, but it was really important to me that it told this story. And so I've got some songs that are kind of similar, that are a bit more like classic pop dance, and then some more of the kind of 80s synth stuff that I spoke about. But yeah, it's all kind of in that realm about similar issues and sort of learning to take strength from vulnerability.
Mm. And your song Delicate, is that on the album or was that before?
Yes. It is.
It's on the album, yeah. I like that as well. And being a fellow Londoner, I instantly recognised where the video was shot.
I know exactly
where you were standing, not just on Tower Bridge, but also on the bank as well.
Yeah, definitely. I wrote that song. It was another song I wrote in LA, and it was just, I think, again, kind of like I said earlier, being away from home in LA. And, you know, people are like, oh, I just have to get out of London kind of thing. And I don't feel like that. And that, you know, the main sort of the pre-line is I read somewhere, if you're tired of London, then you're tired of life. And so this is kind of about that. It's about digging deep. It's about being like, you know, if you change your environment, it won't necessarily change your life. You kind of have to dig deep and change something within you, and that's kind of what the song's about. And so I really wanted a place in London that's quite iconically London to sort of star in it.
Fantastic, love that one as well. But I think I prefer Glass House. I'm not sure, I'm sort of torn between the two.
They're different vibes, aren't they? Glass House is a bit more like foot tappy, funky.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit of an old soul boy.
I can see why you like it then.
Now, I understand you're on tour. In fact, I know you are, and I've seen a whole list of dates and everything around the UK, and you're supporting the fabulous Rebecca Ferguson.
Yep, I'm leaving Thursday evening, so very, very exciting. Can't wait.
And is this your first tour or your...
My third one, actually. So last summer I supported Anastasia on tour, which was amazing. So, supporting big female vocal powerhouses.
But, you know, you sound a little bit like Anastasia, if you don't mind me saying so, especially in your lower registers.
That is a compliment and I will take it.
It is a compliment. Yeah, absolutely.
She's amazing. Really great performer. She's like a very positive person. She was a great, great person to go on tour with.
I can imagine. And do you find it tiring? What is it like being on tour? I quite often ask this question because to me it just sounds like, you know, a real toughie.
It is. I mean, this tour I'm really lucky because the way that it's structured is it's 3 weekends, so I get to come home in between.
Ah, brilliant.
Which I think is a game changer. It will be absolutely lovely. Mm. I love it. I mean, it's, for me, it's kind of, you know, I'm an independent artist. It's been a real graft for years and years and years. But so much of what you do now as a musician is kind of stuck behind a laptop. Mm. And it's not always the bits that, you know, you kind of spend, I don't know, 80% of the year working towards the performances. And so for me, being on tour, I'm like, this is what it's really about. This is what those hours stuck behind a laptop is for. And, you know, especially you meet so many new people and, like, hopefully new fans as well, and people coming up to you who haven't heard you and don't know who you are coming up and being like, that song really resonated with me. Mm. It's just, I'm like, this is what it's about. This is what, you know, all of the being resilient and being tough is about.
I can understand that. That's all very good. I've got two more questions for you. The most important one is, have you ever, or do you still, practice singing in the mirror with a hairbrush?
I didn't know where that question was going. No, not with a hairbrush. I do. My parents say that it's I have this unbelievable talent when I've got my headphones in to sing absolutely terribly. And so I do quite like to go mad in the shower and things like that, but no hairbrush singing anymore. I mean, I used to rehearse quite a lot how I was going to sort of perform, but now I feel like I'm a bit more experienced and I don't need it anymore.
Well, if I remember, I always ask my interviewees that question. It's interesting to see what the answers are, you know. Somebody will say not a hairbrush, but a toothbrush, and all sorts of crazy answers. But it's about 50-50 in all my interviews at the moment. So you're a no, and you join people like Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet, and he doesn't do that either, you know. But
No, I don't do it. I mean, sometimes I would do it in the mirror because it's like a good technique thing to see how,
How you
catch
look.
yourself with bad habits, but no hairbrush again, no.
Okay, fair enough. We'll let you off. That's no problem. And finally, what advice could you give to somebody listening to this episode of Music Stories, who is like you, sort of becoming a superstar? Basically, going on to, everything to live for musically and what have you. What advice would you give to those people?
I think we live in a world where we feel very watched, and I've seen recently that apparently Gen Z, one of the reasons why they're drinking a lot less is because they're worried that people are going to be filming them on their stories and stuff. And I think that the sort of fear, like overthinking, is quite an easy thing to do when you feel so watched and so judged. But what I think is that you've just got to get started. You've just got to do it and not overthink it. And you've just got to like really back yourself. And if you think it's good, then that is the best thing you can do. You know, I think that there's definitely songs that I've put out that I'm like, ugh, wouldn't do that now. And definitely outfits I wouldn't have worn now. But I think that's just sort of part of it. And I think if you just will never get going. And I think so much, especially of being an independent artist, is you've just got to. Like so much of it is building like a network, and in order to have got that, you need to have got that, and you just got to get going. So I think my biggest thing is trust yourself and get started.
Go for it. Brilliant advice. Excellent. Eloise, thank you so much for talking to me, and good luck with the album Glasshouse and the single from it, Glasshouse, as well. Thank you for talking to me. Excellent advice. Been fascinating talking to you. We'll put your website with the text that goes with this episode as well, which is Eloise Viola or Viola.
Bye. Like think like pie or cry. Hi, Piola. There we go. Perfect.
Okay, Eloise Viola like pie.com. It's spelled the same anyway. We'll put that with the text. And thanks again for talking to me on Music Stories. You've been brilliant.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.